Okay, we're in Daniel chapter 6. The story we're going to look at today is one of the most famous stories in all of the Bible. Daniel and the lion's den. And if you grew up in church, you know, you heard this story from the time you were little. Growing up, it's famous. You know all about it. But you know what? This isn't a little kid's story at all. If this story were a movie, it would not be rated G. And so Daniel is going to look death right in the face. And one day you will too. And Daniel's going to face immense pressure to deny God. And you will too. Because that's the way this world is. And so when that happens, will you stand or will you fall? What will you do when that happens and you get all of that pressure? And it's an honest question. It's a question people ask themselves sometimes. And they wonder about because they haven't been through the meat grinder yet. And since I haven't been through it, what will happen? What will I do when that time comes, when trouble comes, when persecution comes? Will I stay faithful or not? We ask those kind of questions. In the story we're going to look at, Daniel finds himself under this pressure, and he's going to remain faithful. And so let's look at the text. Chapter 6, verse 1. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be throughout the whole kingdom, and over them three high officials, of whom Daniel was one, to whom these satraps should give account, so that the king might suffer no loss. Then this Daniel became distinguished above all the other high officials and satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. Then the high officials and the satraps sought to find a ground for complaint against Daniel with regard to the kingdom, but they could find no ground for complaint or any fault because he was faithful. And no error or fault was found in him. Then these men said, "We shall not find any ground for complaint against Daniel unless we find it in connection with the law of his God." Then these high officials and satraps came by agreement to the king and said to him, "O King Darius, live forever. All the high officials of the kingdom, the prefects and the satraps, the counselors and the governors are agreed that the king should establish an ordinance and enforce an injunction that whoever makes petition to any god or man for 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it cannot be changed, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which cannot be revoked." Therefore, King Darius signed the document and injunction. Okay, we'll stop there. We'll go on in a minute, but let's just talk about what's happened here. So Daniel has proved himself again in a different empire. So previously, he had proven himself under the Babylonian Empire, under Nebuchadnezzar, and he rose to high position. And then the night that the Babylonians fell to the Persians, he was made third in command by Belshazzar.
That could have been dangerous.
That could have been dangerous, but it was only the king who was executed. And I imagine that when the Persian army came and conquered the city, that they heard the story of what Daniel said that night, and said, oh, okay, he's with us, based on the story, you know. And so, but now he's under Persian rule, under the Medes and the Persians, and he has again risen to a high position. And so right now he is one of three over 120 satraps, and the king wants to make him even higher because he's seen this guy's quality. I want this guy running my kingdom. And he's going to promote Daniel and make him over the whole kingdom. And so and we've talked about this already in Daniel, but sometimes integrity and honesty and godliness, people notice it and they honor you because of it. And that's happened. He's getting honored because of his integrity and his honesty and his godliness. And so Darius is honoring him so much, he's going to put him over the whole kingdom. But sometimes just the opposite happens. Some people hate you because of your faith and because of your honesty. And we actually see that in this same story too. Because the government officials, they all want to get rid of Daniel. And so here's Daniel. He's being honored and hated at the same time, in the same place, by different people. So don't get to thinking, if I just follow God, everyone's going to love me and such. That's not true. But also don't get to thinking, just I follow God, everyone's going to hate me. And you'll be hated and loved by different people. And so, but you will love them more. But they may not love you more. And so these officials, they hate him so much they want to get rid of him. And they actually testify to his integrity. Think about this for a moment. These are his enemies, and his enemies are saying, we're not going to find anything against this guy unless it has to do with the law of his God. Because they've been looking. And so here they are. They're looking for opportunity to slander him, and they can't find one. At least one that they can present any evidence for. I mean, anybody can say anything, but they can't find evidence. And so they're his enemies. And so we're going to have to use his religion against him. That's what they say. Now, that's not the first time that politicians have used religion against their enemies, nor will it be the last time. That's an old thing, and it's just as recent as today. So they come up with this law about praying to Darius for 30 days. It's in verses 6 through 9. They say, oh, King Darius, live forever. We got this great idea. We think that you should have a law that for the next 30 days, no one can pray to any god without going to you. They got to make petition to you. That kind of law was actually not that unusual for the culture at the time. It seems like a weird law to us. But in that time, in that culture, that was not actually a weird law. It's like chapter 3. Which that was the bow down to the golden image or you get thrown in the fiery furnace. It's the same kind of thing. And it's a law. This law is a way for people to say that they are loyal to the king. And it's partly why it's just 30 days. It's just he's not trying to say you got to stop worshiping your gods. And most of the people that worshiped all these other gods would have no problems with this law. They saw the king as sort of gods, the representative of the gods here on earth. And so we pray to him for 30 days and then we move on with our business and, you know, no harm, no foul. And so that's sort of how most of the people would have seen it. But the Jews would not see it that way. And it puts Daniel in a very hard place, which is the whole point. That's what they wanted to do. And so, here's what happens, verse 10. I'm going to start in verse 10. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house, where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he had done previously. Then these men came by agreement and found Daniel making petition and plea before his God. Then they came near and said before the king concerning the injunction, "O king, did you not sign an injunction that anyone who makes petition to any god or man within 30 days except to you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions?" The king answered and said, "The thing stands fast, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which cannot be revoked." Then they answered and said before the king, "Daniel, who is one of the exiles from Judah, pays no attention to you, O king, or the injunction you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day." Then the king, when he heard these words, was much distressed and set his mind to deliver Daniel. And he labored till the sun went down to rescue him. Then these men came by agreement to the king and said to the king, "Know, O king, that it is a law of the Medes and Persians that no injunction or ordinance that the king establishes can be changed." Then the king commanded, and Daniel was brought and cast into the den of lions. The king declared to Daniel, "May your God, whom you serve continually, deliver you." And a stone was brought and laid on the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that nothing might be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and spent the night fasting. No diversions were brought to him, and sleep fled from him. Okay, so look at verse 10. It says, when Daniel knew that the document had been signed, guys, Daniel's breaking the law. And Daniel is knowingly breaking the law. When Daniel knew that the law had been signed, he broke it. Daniel purposely broke the law. This is a willful violation of the law by one of the highest officials in the government. That's pretty serious. I mean, you usually don't let your highest officials just, you know, they're the guys that got to follow the law. His enemies knew that he would pray to his God, and they watched for it, and they caught him in the act with multiple witnesses. And they arrested him when he does it, and they brought him before the king. They bring the matter to the king, and all of a sudden the king is aware of why they pushed for this law. He was oblivious before. He didn't know why. He thought it was just a matter of loyalty to the state and let's just make the people, you know, be loyal to the new government and so on. That's what he's thinking. But now he knows why they did this. This was not about loyalty to him. This was a trap to get rid of Daniel. That's what this was. But the king is legally bound by the law that he himself signed. He actually is the one who did this. And he's distressed because the king knows Daniel is a good man. He knows Daniel has integrity. He was going to promote him and make him basically over the whole kingdom. That's how much the king thinks of Daniel. He knows that Daniel is not worthy of death, and he's now going to have to put an innocent man to death. That's why he's distressed. That's why he's trying to save him. That's why he can't sleep at night. That's why he's fasting. That's why he's saying to Daniel, "May your God deliver you." And he's probably saying it with quivering words. But legally, he has to put him to death. Legally. So they lower him into the lion's den that night. And the king can't sleep. And here's what happens, starting in verse 19. Then, at break of day, the king arose and went in haste to the den of lions. As he came near to the den where Daniel was, he cried out in a tone of anguish. The king declared to Daniel, "O Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to deliver you from the lions?" Then Daniel said to the king, "O king, live forever. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me, because I was found blameless before him, and also before you, O king. I have done no harm." Then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no kind of harm was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. And the king commanded, and those men who had maliciously accused Daniel were brought and cast into the den of lions, they, their children, and their wives. And before they reached the bottom of the den, the lions overpowered them and broke all their bones in pieces. Then King Darius wrote to all the peoples, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, "Peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in all my royal dominion, people are to tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. For he is the living God, enduring forever. His kingdom shall never be destroyed, and his dominion shall be to the end. He delivers and rescues. He works signs and wonders in heaven and on earth. He who has saved Daniel from the power of the lions." So this Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Okay, so it's the next morning at dawn. And the king hurries. He probably got there as fast as he could. He couldn't sleep at night, so he's probably, you know, waiting for the first crack of sunlight. And when it comes, he goes there. He calls down, not knowing what to expect, probably fearing the worst. "Has your God been able to deliver you from the lions?" And he hears Daniel's reply and is overjoyed. It says, verse 20, "Then the king was exceedingly glad and commanded that Daniel be taken up out of the den." So he's exceedingly glad about this. The law has been fulfilled. Daniel has been put in the lion's den. Now the king turns his business elsewhere. And he's pretty angry. And he's pretty angry at those guys that wanted Daniel dead. And so he commands, and they are thrown into the lion's den, along with their wives and their children, the entire family thrown into the lion's den. In the Persian Empire, for certain capital crimes, that was common. You would actually kill the whole family. Jewish custom, no. Actually, Moses forbade that. But in Persian custom, yes, that was the normal custom. Then Darius writes to praise God and declares that people must honor God, the God of Daniel, the one who does wonders and signs and who saves and who delivers and whose kingdom is forever. And we've seen this pattern with Nebuchadnezzar as well. He did the same kind of thing. He commands, bow down, there's deliverance from death, and he writes to everybody praising the God of Daniel and the Jewish God. Now, in this story, there are two really big places where the grace of God is just poured out in this story on Daniel. The first one is obvious. It's when God sends his angel in the lion's den and shuts the mouths of the lions. I mean, Daniel spent the whole night down in a den with a bunch of lions around him. And, you don't normally wake up the next morning when that happens. But it did. Daniel's in with the lions, but God is with him. God is with the lions and Daniel too. God's down in that den. And for us, it's that way. In Christ, you are never alone. You may have cancer, but he's with you. Or you may get fired at work, but he's with you. Or lose your family, but he's with you. You may go through your own lion's den, and God will be with you in the lion's den, whatever it is. You know, where can I go from his spirit? Where can I flee from his presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall find me, your right hand shall guide me. That was David in Psalm 139. Jesus said, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Same idea. I think of Corrie Ten Boom, who held on to this truth in a Nazi concentration camp. And Jesus saw her through. And he'll see you through hard times as well, whatever they are. When you know this, when you know God's with you in the midst of difficulty, it helps you to actually make hard decisions. When you have to make a hard decision, knowing that it's going to be difficult if I do this, well, God's with you in it. That can help you make that decision. Can help you stand when you know that. So you can stand for what's right at work because Jesus is with you. Or be open about your faith in a hard place because Jesus is with you. Daniel knew that God was with him. And Daniel knew that God was God. And those facts helped Daniel stand for God against the law. And that is the second place where we see the grace of God in this story. See, God's grace visited Daniel a long time before he was in the den of the lions. Verse 10 says this. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house, where he had windows in his upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he had done previously. That's verse 10. So God's with him in the lion's den, certainly. But if God had not been with Daniel in verse 10, Daniel would not have stood against the law. God's grace was with him then. The stand that he took was by the grace of God. The presence of God is what got Daniel in trouble in the first place. And it's the presence of God that delivers Daniel from the lion's den. The presence of God did both of those things. It led him through the trouble and out of trouble. It led him to it and through it, the trouble that he had to deal with. The grace of God is what caused Daniel to pray. Daniel knows what he's doing when he prays. He knows what the law says. He knows that the king has signed the law. He knows that if he prays, he may die. And so he prays anyway, knowing all of that stuff. You can hear how he would be tempted, right? Ah, it's only 30 days, Daniel. Just 30 days. Just wait. You can go back and pray as normal. Or, Daniel, don't throw your life away. You've got this high position in the government. Think of all the good you can do for your people with the position that you've got. And don't throw that away, Daniel. Or, Daniel, it's just a little prayer. It's no harm in a little prayer. Just pretend on the outside. You don't even have to mean it. Just pray the prayer on the outside, and inside you can do what you want. And after 30 days, it's nothing anyway. You hear all these rationales, right? And you know Daniel probably was facing those rationales. He's being tempted with the idol of his own security and his own safety. That's where he is. I mean, he prays, he dies. That's kind of the way this works. And so the temptation is my life. That's the temptation. We, you know, but security and safety, we have that temptation too. That's not unique. Daniel's might have been extreme. Maybe ours isn't your very life. It may not be that extreme. But, you know, when we're told to change the numbers on that report at work, the temptation for us is our security of our job. That's the temptation. That's a security temptation. Used to teach high school, taught English. I was a Christian. You all know, here in America, you're not supposed to, you know, bring your faith into your classroom. But I'm a Christian. My God tells me I have to bring my faith everywhere I go. And so I had to think of ways to bring it in there. And I would intentionally bring the Bible into our discussions in class time. Because we'd discuss, I taught literature. Literature is life on paper. That's what literature is. And when you talk about life, well, the Bible's got a lot to say about life. So here we are, we're having class discussions about life from our literature. And I would bring the Bible into our class discussions on literature, knowing what I was doing. I actually did units on the Bible to my classes, intentionally. Now, there were temptations about security issues and my job. There were times where a student might ask a question and I'd send an SOS to God saying, Lord, I like this job. Give me grace on how to respond to this. But whatever your situation, whether it's pressure from work or family, or as in Daniel's case, your government, Christ wants you to stand for him. Wherever you are, he wants you to stand for him. Following Jesus is not easy. It's actually hard. It's the hardest thing you'll ever do. It's the best thing you'll ever do, but it's the hardest thing you'll ever do. And you will face pressure from this world to conform. Earth doesn't like people who go against it. America talks about, you know, be you, be individual, be it, that, that's all marketing. That's really, American culture doesn't want you to be you. It wants you to follow them. It hates those who do not conform to the culture. That's here in America. But that's, America's not unique. It's true in Iran. It's true in China. It's true in Indonesia. It's true in Russia. It's true in name a place. And whatever the prevailing culture is, they want you to conform. It's true in Islam. But when you follow God, you often have to go against your culture. You have to just let go. This is what Daniel's doing. It's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did in chapter 3. When they said, "No, O king, we will not bow down to this image or serve your gods." It's what Peter did when the authorities said, "Stop preaching in this name." And Peter said, "You decide whether it is right in the eyes of God to listen to you or God." It's what Jesus did with the Jewish authorities that were against him. He had to stand against his culture. It's what you're going to have to do too, in some form or fashion. If you're going to follow Christ, you are going to stand against your culture at some point, maybe many points. But you say, "Will I stand for righteousness when the time comes?" That's how I began this, right? What I want to do is let you know what will help you the most in standing when the pressure is turned up. And it's actually right here in the text. It's in verse 10. It's in the place where Daniel stands. When Daniel knew that the document had been signed, he went to his house where he had the windows in the upper chamber open toward Jerusalem. He got down on his knees three times a day and he prayed and gave thanks before his God. And then what does it say? As he had done previously. Okay, that's the key to standing when it's hard. Daniel prayed and gave thanks to God as he had done previously. Daniel's praying was something he did regularly. This wasn't like a one-off thing. Like he's going to, I think today I'll pray and violate the law. No, this was habit. Daniel spent time with God, it says here, at least three times a day, every day. This is the norm. Now, here comes the law, and the law forces him to pray to a man. But Daniel already has the habit of praying to God three times a day, and he's probably been doing this. He's in his 80s now. He's probably been doing this for close to 80 years. In order to honor God, Daniel doesn't have to do anything special. He just has to do normal. That's what he has to do to honor God. And this is how it will be for you and me. How you walk with God every day matters for how you walk with God when the pressure is turned up. If you want to be faithful under pressure, be faithful now. Spend time with God every day, as Daniel did. Talk to him. Get to know his word every day. If you don't spend time praising God and thanking him daily, you're not going to praise him when the pressure is turned up. You won't even do it every day. What makes you think you're going to stand when the pressure's turned up? If you don't spend time meditating on God's word daily, you're not going to honor his word when the pressure is turned up. If you don't care about righteousness each day, you won't care about it when the pressure is on. If you don't walk with Jesus every day, you won't walk with Jesus when it's hard and the pressure's turned up. I don't mean this to be some formula. you know, just have a quiet time every day, and when the heat gets turned up, you'll be fine. If that's what you're hearing me say, please don't hear me say that. That's nonsense. But if you don't spend time with God and learn His Word daily and praise Him daily and walk with Him daily, what makes Him think you'll do those things when it's hard? You actually have no reason to think you'll do those things when it's hard if you won't do them now. And so if you don't walk with Christ when it's easy, relatively speaking, you won't walk with Him when it's hard. And so what you do every day to strengthen your relationship with God matters. It's like working out. When you work out, you have to do it regularly for it to actually have benefit. When you work out regularly over time, you grow stronger and you're able to handle more because you're stronger. But if you just, you know, you don't work out at all and then you just decide you want to go, you know, let's bench 300 pounds today, it ain't gonna happen. That's not the way it works. So think of prayer, think of meditating on Scripture, think of worship, think of fellowship with God's people, think of serving God's kingdom, think of caring about obedience, all of those things. Think of all of that as those practices are a spiritual workout. Think of them that way. You're working out, but you're working your soul, not your body. And as you work out with your soul grows stronger. And as your soul grows stronger, you can face more difficult things. Do these things regularly, and you'll be better prepared when the hard times come. Neglect them, and you will have a weak faith. And the hard times will overwhelm you if you neglect those things regularly. The better you know God, the more you will hold on to Him in hardship because you know Him well. And the most common way you get to know God is by walking with Him every day. That's how you get to know God. That's how you get to know anybody else. I get to know my wife because I walk with her every day, live with her. I'm not saying we go for walks every day, but that's how you get to know people. Okay, what I want to do is this. We're going to close. I'm going to ask you to think of a change maybe you would like to make to your daily life to get to know God better each day. And then I'm going to ask you to pray for God to do that. So I'm going to give you just a second to think of what that would be.